I want to continue to speak to you today about what Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, when he turned to his disciples, his followers, and said, "You are the light of the world." We've been looking at it a couple of weeks, but it's such an important verse. Jesus said on that day to his disciples, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." When Jesus proclaimed those words, he was speaking to those who had chosen to follow him, to disciples, to people like you and I who have decided to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he spoke to them, he was making a statement of fact. You, and the word "you" is the plural, you are the light of the world. He didn't say you can be the light of the world, or you may be if you work at it, or you could be. He said, you are the light of the world. Stop for a moment and think of that. Once you became a Christian, whether you realized it or not, at that moment you became the light of the world. While we were away in Singapore, we noticed that traffic lights there are extremely bright. I've noticed since that it's coming that way in Australia too. But the reason for it, as we looked, was that the light was actually made up of lots and lots and lots of individual LED or LED lights shining. Here, we still have in many places just the one single bulb. Not left to one single bowl, but a lot of tiny little lights. That's what we are. The light of the world. We're all in it. Every one of us. You are the light of the world, said Jesus. But after making that statement of fact, he then went on to give them a challenge. You are the light of the world. Now go and be obvious about being the light of the world. Don't hide who you are. How ridiculous would that be? Don't be like a light under a bowl, but be like a light on a stand, so that it illuminates wherever it is. And Jesus said, the end result of that will be that people will see your good works and praise you? No way. And will praise your Father in heaven. Most of us would admit, I'm sure, to liking a challenge. As long as a challenge is something that we can do, something we think is worthwhile, and something that gives us pleasure, joy, or is exciting. This challenge that the Lord Jesus gave on the Sermon on the Mount is all those things for the believer. It is something we can do by the strength of God. He enables us. Something that's worthwhile, praise God it is. You know, it's something that's going to be exciting and joy-filled and pleasurable. I asked these kids this morning, I say, was that joy-filled? Not at the time, possibly. But in the service comes the joy. When I was young in Sunday school, we used to talk about some of the missionary heroes. Shows how long ago I was in Sunday school, because one of the heroes they used to talk about was a fellow called Winfred Grenfell. Anybody here heard of Winfred Grenfell? Keith has and a few others. Not too many of you, because you see, thanks Bev, you showed your age as well. Because you see, Winfred Grenfell was actually a missionary in the 1890s. And into the 1900s, in a place called Labrador. Who's heard of Labrador? That's better. Labrador is at the top of Canada, Newfoundland, around that way, near Iceland, Greenland, all that. We used to think that was the ends of the earth. I still think it's the ends of the earth. Very cold, inhospitable place. They can't even grow anything there. They have to bring all their foodstuffs in. The temperature in Labrador, hardly, well, always, just about every month, will hit freezing point at least once, and often a lot more. Well, Winfred Grenfell became a missionary doctor to Labrador. He went there to proclaim the good news of the gospel and also to be a doctor in that place. I picked up a book in my study this week, which he wrote, a very small one. It only took me about 45 minutes to read. It's not very big, as you can see. And that book is entitled What Christ Means to Me. In it, he tells how he was brought up. Brought up in a very religious family. They used to go to church every Sunday. They used to have reading daily devotions every day, except when they were on holiday. Then they were let off daily devotions. He also mentions he was let off cleaning his teeth. I'm not sure what the connection was. Obviously, he came back with bad teeth and a lower spirituality than he should have had. But the idea of religion or Christianity he got was that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ who died for your sins, and that meant that one day you would get to heaven. And there wasn't really much in between. In fact, he was so convinced of this, he was so sure about the heaven bit, that when his little brother, who was very, very sickly, died, he said, I didn't even feel much grief because I knew he was going to heaven. Then one day, Grenfell became a doctor and he was working in London. He'd just been out on a call, helped someone with a delivery of a baby. As he was coming back, he saw a tent just set up in London. This is about in the 1890s, I guess. And he saw the tent there and he thought it was a circus. So he'd go in and have a look. So he went through the door, but it wasn't a circus at all. It was a evangelistic meeting. And there was lots of people there, so he thought he'd stay for a little, see what was happening. And there was an old guy on the platform who was praying. And the old guy was praying and praying and praying. And his prayer was pretty monotonous. And he kept on going, and Grenfell got quite bored, and he decided that was it, he'd go. He was just about to go when another guy who was on the platform, a younger man who seemed quite enthusiastic, suddenly jumped up and said, let us sing a hymn while our brother finishes his prayer. Now that really got Grenfell's attention. He was not used to that type of thing in church services. In fact, you did not smile in church services. Definitely, you didn't interrupt. He was even more intrigued when he found out the guy who said that was the speaker. So he decided he would wait and hear what this guy had to say. The speaker was Dwight Moody. Moody preached that night. That night, the Spirit of God placed a new idea in Grenfell's mind. That Christianity was not just believing in Jesus and waiting for heaven to come and knowing you're going to be sure of getting there because you believed. But Christianity was following a living leader who was Jesus. And that Christianity was giving one's whole life in active ministry for Jesus because of your love for him. That religion was not just an insurance ticket, but was a life to be lived to the full right now. And he also discovered that such a life was a challenge. And it was not a dull existence lived on a church pew. He wrote this: the idea of this living leader who could and did transform all who accepted him, and who in every rank of life everywhere literally will walk with ordinary folk and enable them to play the game and endure as seeing him who is invisible fascinated me. It's no wonder that after that, Grenfell took the challenge of being the light of the world really seriously. And then he took the healing of medicine and the power of the gospel to one of the toughest places on earth. While he was there, he went through a huge amount of hardship. Terrible. There was so much opposition from the commercial ventures to him being there. There really was. It wasn't just the hardship of the weather and the lifestyle, but also of the opposition. And yet, after spending many years of his life there, he wrote towards the end of his life, Christ means to me the best kind of a friend as well as leader, who has given me in this world 10, nay 100 times as good as I could enjoy in any other way. In other words, he says, living life for Christ is so many times better than living it for oneself. That's what he discovered. He willingly took up this challenge from his Saviour, and his life and others were blessed greatly. This morning, however, it's not what this challenge of being the light of the world meant to Grenfell that is important, but what it means to each one of us. The reading that Michael brought to us from Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 18. In that reading, Paul put the concept of us being the light of the world in a slightly different form. This is what he says. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. Stars. We are the light of the world, yes, says Paul. But think of it in another way. You are stars shining in the universe, rightly holding out the word of life. Aren't the stars in the sky brilliant? Beautiful, aren't they? They're wonderful. Easily missed, for sure, if it's overcast, or if you're always living the life in your city, you know, where all the lights of the earth just kind of get in your way. But they're always there. When you go out in the bush at night, if you go out in the bush camping, away from everything, and you're there at night, what do? You look at the stars. Telly's not working. You look at the stars. Much better picture anyhow. The stars are there. We are to shine like stars, Paul says. I know very, very little about stars, so I'm a little bit nervous about saying this, but as far as I'm concerned, it seems to me that the stars are on a journey too. That they are on a journey through the universe. They have a limited lifespan. That lifespan might be huge, but they're still limited. And yet the light they project, isn't it amazing, continues to have an impact long, long, long after they've burnt out. The stars give direction. They show the way. But the stars also give comfort. They give encouragement. They give a sense of stability. And you know what? They cause us to praise the Creator. When I consider the stars, the work of your handiwork, what is man that thou art mindful of him? We too are on a journey. That's been our theme this morning. And as Christians, it is a journey of usefulness for our Lord. I was thinking this week how we view service in heaven compared to service on earth. I think we tend to view service in heaven as being the kind of the major league. We're in training for the big job that we're going to do when we get to glory for God, when we've got nothing to hold us back. And I thought, well, supposing this is the A-League here. Supposing this is the major service on earth. This is really where God wants us to minister for him. And supposing we get to heaven, we say, Lord, okay, where's the big job? And he says, well, that's what you were doing. That's why I left you there. That's why I placed you. That was the A mission for you. And will we be thinking then, I could have done so much more. I could have been involved in such a bigger way in sharing the love of Jesus. There are times I look back on now which I just frittered away because I didn't realize. One of my brothers, Jeff, who's been here, works, has his own company. It's called 2819. And it's all about spreading the gospel through production of videos and DVDs and films for missionary organisations mainly. He's been to so many countries. He goes through, I don't know how many passports a year, I'm sure. He's always off somewhere. And some of the countries are pretty well feral, and some are quite dangerous. And he goes there, and he comes back with stories that makes my hair stand on end. Can't make his hair stand on end, because he's lost it, most of it. But he spreads the gospel in such a wonderful way. Before he went to Melbourne, he had his own business here in Perth called the Editing Hall. And he did those type of things for everyone. And he was well respected. The TV, space, everything used him. He had a good business. But he felt that if that was all he was doing with his life, that wasn't enough. Not for Jesus. So he went and he started that business, and the Lord is using him greatly there. Mind you, he goes through some terrible financial times. It's all by faith, and it's... I've got another friend I think of who's also got a business, and he's a Christian. In his business, his aim was to do that one thing. You know, you always want to do that one thing that people will notice, I think. To be respected, but also to be celebrated in some sense. And he does quite well, and he struggles sometimes. But what I've noticed is that that has consumed him to quite a degree. The time for doing anything for the Lord, even worship, just really isn't there anymore. And I just wonder, not just about those two, but what's the Lord going to say to us when we get to glory? Where are we putting our efforts and energies? Are we shining like stars? Whatever way we can. We can't all do it in different ways. We'd all do it in different ways, don't we? I'm not saying that we shouldn't have earthly goals, that we shouldn't seek after earthly honours. Okay, if that's the way and that's the Lord's pathway for you, I think that's great. But only as we are prepared first to be the light of the world, to be stars shining in the sky, to do His will. And in those other pursuits, His will is coming first. So how do we shine? How do we shine like stars? How do we do it? Well, we've got a few little notes there. I could go for hours on that one. But from Philippians 2, the reading we had, we notice firstly that hard work is needed. Actually, there's no easy answer to hard work. It says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work hard at it. But it also says that part of that working hard is allowing God to work in you, because that is God who is at work within you. Listen to His voice. Be in tune with God. Then in verses 14 and 15 it goes on and says, what you need to do is put a boycott on complaining and arguing as we seek to be stars shining in the sky. It's interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, too often, Christian groups, what do they have a name for? Bickering and arguing. I think it's just how the devil loves to get in and disturb. We've got to be very aware of that. Pray against that. And then in verse 16, it says, always hold out the word of life. The word of life. Know it. Be able to present what you know of Jesus to others. Your story, how He's working in your life. To others around you. But you know, as well as those things, to shine brightly, we must seek to become people who are active in love. Look again at Matthew 5:16 from the Sermon on the Mount. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. And these good deeds arise out of loving God with all that we are first, and then loving our neighbours as we love ourselves. And such deeds are motivated not by selfish ends, not so others will glorify us, but so that they will see them and glorify God. Another thing is that people who are courageous, who are going to shine as lights, are courageous Christians. Again, something from which Grenfell wrote, which I found quite interesting, quite early in his book, he wrote this. It was after that talk, he was at another talk where the Lord really touched him. And this is what he writes. A truth I learned then, and one which the years have confirmed, is that real religion involves real courage. At the close of that address, the speaker urged all present who had made a decision to stand up. There were a number of my friends in the meeting, and I felt chained through fear to my seat. Sitting in the front semicircle seats were almost 100 husky lads, love the way he writes, all dressed alike in sailor suits. They were from a training ship in the harbour. Suddenly one smallish boy got up and stood there, the target of many astounded eyes. I knew well what it would mean to him when the boys got back aboard, and it nerved me to stand up also. This step I've ever since been thankful for. It is invaluable to know where you stand. The decision to fairly try out that faith, which has challenged and stirred the ages, in the laboratory of one's own life, is, I am convinced, the only way to ever obtain a fixed heart on the matter. The prize is to be won, not swallowed, as must be everything else we know of that is of permanent value. Of course, he went on to follow that courageous stand for Christ through the rest of his days. Paul, speaking to Timothy in the Word of God, says, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline, or a sound mind. And again, but you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Be courageous. And then one other thing. I think if we want to stand and shine as light, then we need to be people who pray and are known to pray. Prayer is just so vital, isn't it? As these young people were preparing to go to Malaysia, one of the first things we did was say to them, organise yourself a prayer partner. And each one of them, from some one of you in the church, has got a prayer partner to share with. It's important that they understand the vital part that prayer must play in all that they do. That is so important. Last night we had our training, and they've got some prayer points, and they'll be sharing them with their prayer partners this morning, so keep them to that, please. Keep them honest. But as well as praying for God's enabling for ourselves, and also praying for others, I believe we should be known as people who pray. I was talking about this with the over 55s on Thursday, so it was on my mind then. If a doctor is present in the place, whether they're on duty or not, they're automatically available to do doctoring. And they're automatically recognised as one who will. As Christians who shine as light, I believe we should be known as those who will pray. So people began to recognise us as Christians who will pray for them. So that when they have a need in their lives, they will come to us and say, I know you believe in prayer, would you pray for me? I think that could happen. But we need to be the ones who let them know that we believe in prayer. And when we say to them, hey, I want to pray for you, until they're saying, would you pray for me as well? I was on the phone to another friend this week, and he's just going through some pretty tough times in his business. I didn't get to talk to him. I got to talk to another guy who I don't really know very much, but I've met a couple of times. As far as I know, it's quite a very non-Christian. And I was talking to him, and I was talking about this business problems that my mate was going through. And he said, would you like me to give him a message? And I said, yes. I said, just tell him that I know it's tough and I'm thinking of him. And then I thought to myself, wait a minute. I want to say more than that. I want this guy to know something about me. I said, I want you to tell him that I will be praying for him. We need to be known as believers who believe in prayer and are ready to pray for people. It'd be great if everybody thought of you as someone who could pray for them. I think it'd be fantastic. Shining as lights in our world. So to sum up this morning, if you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are the light of the world. Isn't that fantastic? You are. Can't get out of it. You are the light of the world. The challenge Jesus gives to you, you've got to shine in an obvious way. If you think you've been putting it under a bowl for a while, he's found you out. He said you've got to shine in an obvious way. You've got to be like a star in the sky. To do that, hard work is needed. But rely on God. Avoid complaining. Avoid having a go at other believers. Know God's message so you can share it with others. And especially you're going to shine through your love deeds, which will give glory to God. Have courage in your stand for Jesus. And not only be one who prays, but be one who is known as a person who delights to offer sincere, believing prayer on behalf of others. Let's stop and pray about that. Father, we commit ourselves once more to you. We thank you that you've got this confidence in us, that you've made us the light for the whole world, that you will shine through us. Lord, forgive us for the times we've put our light under a bowl, and help us to accept this challenge to go forth and be the light of the world, to be stars shining in what often is a dark sky, and to do so for you. Amen.